Great to gather together with you here this morning at Jericho Road. So just let me extend my welcome to you. And we do indeed count it a privilege to travel with you as we just worship the Lord, now hear from God through His Word. And so welcome to each. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Going to read our kind of the verses that we kind of set the table with, our opening verses. But today it's going to be a little bit different, and I'm going to read a verse that's at the beginning of the section we're going to cover, and then a verse from the middle, and then a verse near the end to help us set the table. So look, if you would, at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Go to verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And then verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. No matter who we are, if we have accepted Jesus as our Savior, in doing that, He placed us in the body of Christ. If you are saved, you are a part of the body of Christ. The Lord wants each of us to know that, to enjoy it, to grow in it, to live it out. So that's why Paul, the Lord through Paul, sets that before us this morning. To know what our part is, to be open to whatever God wants to do in us and through us, it's so important. It's important to us individually and important to all of us collectively. Because each of us are already a part of this team. So I would pray this morning we'd be an encouragement and motivate us all to be very open to how God wants to work in this way. Based on verse 27, I've called our time, you are the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we gather together, Lord, we are in awe and wonder that you love us the way you do. As we move towards Easter and all over, think about you sending your Son and the price paid, all that you've done to draw us to you and for each one who's opened their heart to save us. And Lord, this whole example now of making us part of this collective body, your body, how we thank you, Lord. Help us this morning to rejoice in it, to be encouraged in it, to for some maybe be challenged in it, but through it all, Lord, thank you. You, Lord, you saved us, changed our destinies, and you give our very lives purposes. Purposes above what this world's about. So how we thank you, Lord. Let this morning be a time of growing in all of this. Speak now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are the body of Christ. From verse 27, that's our title this morning. But let's remind ourselves of where we're at a little bit. Go to verse 11 for just a moment. Paul is speaking about God giving gifts and all in the church to the body. In verse 11, he says, but one and the same Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So that's kind of the lead-in verse for what we're going to look at today. But what this reminds us is that it is God the Holy Spirit who gives these gifts. And we're not just talking about the gifts listed before this. There's all kinds of gifts that God gives all of us. Each of us has something, and all of us are part of this body, this team effort, as we look at. But the point is, the Holy Spirit that gives it. So what's our part in all this? It's right there, where it says the Spirit distributes to each one individually as He wills. That's you and me. He gives it to each one individually. You have something. You have a gift. You have a place in this body. You matter. You're important. And we're going to see Paul really emphasize that this morning. Let's dive in. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. The word members here means parts. A body, a physical body, has many parts, he's saying. And he's likening this Indeed, it's more than an illustration, it's a truth, it's an awesome truth, that we are, in that same way, parts of the body of Christ. Those who've accepted Jesus, we are part of this body. It's a living organism. The Lord didn't come to form a machine. We haven't been born again into just an organization. We're not part of a business. We're part of a body, the body of Christ. God, who designed these bodies, now says, look at the design of this body and understand that spiritually, all believers are linked together in that same way. Every one of us are a part of the collective body of Christ. And he's going to make the argument, state the truth, and that every single person matters in this. And that's what I pray this morning would be. For I see this at work around here a lot. We've come a long way in this area that we're going to talk about this morning. And I'm just rejoicing. So I pray it'll be encouragement for each one. Think about our bodies for a moment, our physical bodies. Think of the diversity within your body. Many parts involved in our body. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. But think about that. And it takes those parts, all those parts, for the body to run as it's supposed to. If our body run well, we need all our parts cooperating. As I get older, I find that isn't always the case for my physical body. There are parts in the morning where parts of my body saying, can I stay in bed today? But anyway, it's that's the way. But when it's working the way it should, every part needed, every part fit together for the good of the whole body. That's God's point here. And the more we consider our physical body and this design and all, the more this wonderful example speaks to us. So I pray it would be an encouragement to each one of us this morning. See, the believers in Corinth, they had all the parts, so to speak, but they weren't working as a body together. Remember, this is a corrective letter. We've seen that studying it. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, that group of young believers, because one reason was he had heard, many reasons, there was all this division and carnalness, and they were just like little babies in the Lord and all. There's the schism, divisions going on. And so they had the parts, but they weren't working as a body, as a team together. So he writes this to explain and encourage them. Let it encourage us in all this also. And notice that. Notice the body-like unity of Christians. This is not something that we're to set as a goal to hopefully achieve. I hope someday to be in the body. No, what does it say? It's a fact to be recognized. We are baptized into one body. We were. It's already a fact. Now the thing is to work together as parts. We're already in it. And notice that. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, whether Padres fans or Dodger fans, whether country music or rap, whatever you like. See, that's not what they're trying to make. They're not trying to make us all clones of one another or something. There's place for personality and differences and all that. But at the key core of all this, the spiritual issue is we're to recognize we all have a shared common, we share in the shed blood of Jesus. And that has made us part of this body together. And indeed, those differences can be used by him, and they're part of the design for the furtherance of all of us. So there's not to be any lone ranger believer. All of us are needed in this. And again, he'll address all that in a minute. Well, let's look at verse 15. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? What if all you were is one big eye? That'd be pretty weird. Of course, you wouldn't be able to get around. You couldn't walk anywhere. You couldn't pick anything up. You couldn't hear anything. It wouldn't be a body. It'd just be an eye. The eye's going to need other parts if it's going to even be an eye. It's going to have other parts to be an eye. So Paul's setting that before them here. But these questions are important as they address a couple different viewpoints. First of all, these questions can be seen in terms of the person who feels excluded from the body. When you read that statement, if the foot should say, well, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. If the ear should say, well, I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Does that mean it's not part of the body? Maybe you're someone who says, you know what, I don't have the well-known gifts. I don't have the things that seem to be all the fancy gifts they have. I guess I'm not part of the body. So this is to Paul say it's not the case. He's trying to clarify that. We're not to think, well, because I don't have that person's gift, I must not be part of the body. Every part needed. We're not to compare. We're not to say, well, if I'm not like that person, then I must not be part of it. Every part needs every part. So first of all, don't look at your gift and exclude yourself because somehow it's not what somebody else has. But there's also the other thing that Paul's addressing here. For it's possible for some people to feel like because of their gift, they exclude others. Look at the gift I have. And look what I got going. They don't have much of a gift. And are you trying to say, well, I'm an eye. You're like a foot. We don't really need you. In both cases, Paul's straightening it out. That's wrong thinking. Every part is needed. Every part, crucial and important. No gift. I remember when I say gifts, there's not all gifts are listed. There's gifts of leading worship. There's all kinds of gifts of serving and all kinds of things. But there's no gift in the body that's more important than another gift. Every single believer matters. All parts, each of us, are needed and important. I mean, again, a body that was just one thing wouldn't be a body, and it couldn't accomplish anything. We're not all supposed to be the same in this thing. It takes all parts. And again, yesterday's work party really reminded me of that. Just watching everybody serving in different ways, and it all came together. It's just awesome to watch. I've watched this church grow in this. I mean, there's such an increased family feeling around here and unity happening, and just it's so great to watch. So this morning, I'm not here to just, you know, rah, rah, rah. I want to encourage everybody. I see it happening, and just let's enjoy it, and let's grow together in it. But it's such a neat thing. I was talking about a brother between services about that, how just there's been so many great growth in this area here as we come up the hill here at Jericho Road and all. And so good stuff going on. Well, let's press on, time's sake. We come to verse 18, and again, it's one of those verses I read at the beginning because I want us to camp on a minute. The truth of this verse is so important, and I just pray we'll all just really lay hold of it. After saying, well, ears, eyes, they all have their place. Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. The place that you and I have in this body of Christ, in this family of the Lord, the place that you and I have, there it's given by God. And it's just as he pleases. Lord, you're pleased with me? Yep. But Lord, I feel like I don't have a big extravagant. I just kind of do this. And he goes, that pleases me. More than that, he gives it to us. It's God who gives a burden. It's God who gives a desire. It's God who stirs us up and says, you know, I just feel like maybe I could help here or get involved with the children there or whatever it is. He stirs that, and that pleases him when he finds us attentive and open and available. And so he puts us in this whole thing, and he puts us in the place we're at, and he puts us in as he pleases. Our place in the body of Christ is not the result of our choosing. He stirred that in us. It's not the result of someone else's choosing. Again, it's God opening that door, God giving us that opportunity, and God giving us the desire. Where we are and what we are by God's good pleasure and the placing of God himself. So don't look down on yourself or don't struggle or how come and why don't I? God has put you where it pleases him. And that's the case. It pleases him who you are. Of course, you're still under construction. Some of us are still kind of seeking our place or growing in it. Or, you know, it's a growing thing for all of us. But in that process, it says he's doing this choosing and it's pleasing him. There's no place unworthy or too small if God has placed us there. And that's what I want us to really camp on, to really think about for a moment. Hopefully knowing this will encourage us to joyfully fulfill the place God puts us, to use the gift he gives us, a gift of compassion or just whatever it might be, to serve, to administrate, whatever it is. Our part enables all parts to be what God wants to do. Our part enables all parts to do their part. Again, the body, you need your feet to get around. We need every part. I had thought about trying to do some kind of illustration that while I was talking, all of a sudden my hand decided to do something else. And what are you doing? I want to go outside. No, you can't go outside. You got to be here. I don't like it in here. You know, talk to my hand a little bit. Of course, I knew you'd do what you're doing right now. Look at me like, okay, he's lost it. But it's just an idea of somehow illustrate. The hand might think, oh, I want to do my own thing or I don't matter or whatever, but I need it and it needs me. It needs the whole, we all work together. Don't be a lone ranger. It rips you off and it rips all of us off. We all have our part in this. And the awesome thing is, God did give us that gift. God put us in that place. You matter. So verse 18, rhetorical question I'd like to set before you. Is it enough to know that our part pleases God? I trust it is, because it is. May it be enough for all of us. It's enough to know your part pleases God. Well, again, pressing on. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, many parts, but one body. Excuse me. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Notice some of the wording in there. First of all, no part of the body can say to another part of the body, we don't need you. I don't need you. Every part is needed. And it's interesting. Verse 22, no, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker. Seem, that means in our thinking. Those parts that in our thinking are more weaker, they're those behind the scene things. Those are the gifts that people don't really notice too much. They're not really that necessary. Paul says on the contrary. See, we may think of someone or their gifts as being lesser, but God sees them as necessary. In verse 23, it begins, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Again, what we think about this stuff, he's advising us here, let's learn to see things as God sees them. As God sees each one of us. We think of someone because they have a high profile. They're more obvious in their gifting, how important they are, but that other person, are they really necessary? They have this unseen gift. He's saying, you better believe it. They're crucial. Every gift is necessary. Every person is necessary. For some of you, you may be into basketball. I understand many aren't, but the example will still hold true, hopefully. But for some of you, you're into basketball or in that time of the year when they have the college playoffs called March Madness. And if you're into that, it's kind of fun. They have all these series of games. It's either win or go home kind of thing, and they bump off all these teams to get down to the champion. So you have this March Madness going on. Well, in the midst of that, let me just give an example from that. And again, if you're not familiar with basketball, it's fine. The example still holds. But I heard this, and I have no reason to doubt it. I heard it from a source that I believe. But as an example from a number of years ago, the college basketball team from UCLA was like the cream of the crop. They, for a number of years there, they won all the championships. And they had a coach named John Wooden. And he's become classic. You know, he's one of the people I often point to as one of the epitome of a great college coach. Because they were a great team and won championships, they drew all the best players. Everybody wanted to be part of UCLA, wanted a scholarship there to be a basketball player. And so all these guys that were the best basketball players from high school and all, from all over the country, they'd show up there. They want to be there. Now, they played a lot of ball. They're big fish in their pond. And they would show up there, and they, and it is said that they'd report to John Wooden. They'd report in to him, and he'd say, come on. And one of the first things he'd do, he'd take them out to the locker room, and he would show them how to put their socks on. You might think, I say, he's going to show them how to do a really great layup or how to work or run a good play. No, he'd take them and put their socks on, show them how to put their socks on right. Why? Because he knew if they get a blister, they're no good to us. I'm going to teach you the very basics, he would tell them. You get a blister and all of a sudden you're hobbling down the court. You're far from less effective. What's the point in the story? He knew to give attention to the unseen parts, to deal with the basics. Because in basketball, a foot matters if you're going to be your best. And so we'd teach them that. The unseen parts matter. The small details matter. They're not small. They're crucial. No matter what part we have in this, we're crucial. Look at verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. What's Paul trying to drive home here? If you think back, think about armor. You can think back to the old medieval days or whatever. Think about the armor they would put on as they go to battle. Think about armor today, body armor that guys might wear in the military or the police. Protective vest, maybe a helmet. They would wear those things because of what they're facing. But notice that body armor. Notice the armor that the soldiers or even the old-time guys would wear and all. The point is this. What would they cover? The crucial organs. You put on body armor to cover those parts that are crucial if you're going to function, if you're going to live. Those parts are more valuable than the seen parts when it comes right down to it. We can lose an ear and still live. You can lose an eye and still live. But you can't lose a heart and still live. You can't have your lungs removed. You can't lose all your kidneys and everything else. You can't lose all that and still live. That's why we protect those parts. They're crucial to this thing. The unseen parts are the more crucial. You might feel like you're an unseen part in the body of Christ, but you matter. You're vital to the whole thing. Let this be an encouragement to you. Now, I understand. We don't think about these bodies for a moment. In general, I probably not too many people here have somebody come and say, you know what? You've got the cutest kidney. You know, your liver is so handsome. Man, that's a beautiful liver you got going on. No, we take care of our hair, or what we have left of it. We take care of our bodies, you know. We do all this, put all your makeup on, ladies, or whatever, you know. We do all that because that's the presentable parts. So we take care of those. But the greater need are those parts that you don't see he's driving home. And same in the body. They're crucial for the function of things. So, yes, I happen to have the privilege to stand up front. You might say, God made me a mouth. But what would I do without your prayers? What would we do as a body without your prayers? Or your serving, or ministering to kids, or leading worship, or all the things that I get to see and that I'm very well of. Do you know what it's like? You know what it's like to show up here in the morning? You know what it's like to show up here in the morning and know there's a bunch of guys that beat me here to get this place ready to go? I don't have to worry about coming here and getting the lights on, getting everything warmed up, better run and make some coffee, better go vacuum, better go sit some chairs. There's a bunch of people already doing that. So I get to focus on this. They free me up to do this. I'm no more important than that. And it goes throughout the whole body in that way. That was just an example. It goes throughout the whole body. We all have our part, and that's you. And it pleases God. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. Remember, there was division amongst them. And we understand we're all parts linked together, all matter, all important, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We are interconnected as believers. We just are. And the extent that all of us do well, we rejoice over that. We should be glad when one part's honored or something goes well. But also we should be aware of and caring for. And if someone is hurting, it says we all suffer for that. We all suffer. We're all concerned. We're to care for one another in this whole thing. Each one matters to us. Again, if one hurts, we all hurt. You ever notice that about your body? I mean, come on. You break your toe. What's the problem? 99% of you still fine. Why are you going, ow, ow, ow? Why are you hobbling around? Because it gets all the attention. You ever notice sometimes you just get an infection, get a splinter? Ow, ow, ow. It's a finger. You could argue, look, the wrist is fine. But what happens? The whole body knows about it and then lets us know about it. Your back's out, the whole body is hurting. So in the body of Christ, we're to be sensitive to and care for it, help one another. Because that's the example he sets before us. And we're to rejoice when someone's honored, not be jealous. Not say, boy, I wish I was getting honored. We are through one another. It's all part of the same team. Because in the end, remember, all this we're talking about are the gifts that God gives us. Now, there is no pride behind a gift. Because a gift is a gift. A gift isn't earned. God doesn't look at us and go, you know what? She's just so cute. I'm going to bless her with this. He's so smart. I'm going to give him this gift. He's so much further than everybody else. It's not. That would be works. A gift is a gift. We don't earn it, don't deserve it, but God gives it. So there's no place for pride in this. And the awesome thing is, and he says, he gives each one a gift, whatever it be, and that pleases him. You please him with the gift God has given you, and as you exercise it and all. But also remember again, if everyone doesn't take their part in this, we are all impacted. So I discourage you. Don't fall into the Lone Ranger syndrome. I'll just do my own thing. Yes, I'm part of the body, but I can go off and do my own thing or something. That you'll miss out and we miss out. All are impacted. We're to be a team together. Verse 27, one of our opening verses. Having said all that, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Again, not you hope to be or you should try to be or aim to be. You are in the body of Christ. So Paul's conclusion, you're in the body of Christ and members of that body individually. Every single one of us matters in this thing. Have I mentioned that this morning? I keep saying it over and over because it's so important. It's such a blessing. You matter. Yes, you have a gift and you matter in this thing. And it pleases him. Well, let's finish off the chapter just so next week we can jump in chapter 13, Lord willing. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongue? Do all interpret? What's he pointing out here? In this case, what's he saying? There's all examples of how people have different gifts amongst the body, but all are needed. He's just stating, well, that's why God's given all these different gifts and people in the church for different giftings, Because every single, it's just what he's saying, he's pointing out. It's kind of a pointing out how God has done this in fulfillment of what he just said here about us all being part of the body. And we'll be looking at more of some of these gifts next couple of weeks here, Lord willing. Then verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Now, what's the best gift? It's the one I have, of course. All of you, you have a lesser gift. I have the best gift. No! What's the best gift? It depends on what your calling is. The best gift is what you need to fulfill and meet the need before you. If you need to drive a nail in that wall, and I said, here's a saw. Hit the nail with a saw. It might take a while. Not the right tool, is it? Give you a hammer, right on. The best gift is what's needed for the calling, the needs he puts around us. It's okay to pray for the best gifts, the best gift to meet the need. It's encouraging us to do so. But then he says, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And that's love, of course, and that's what chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, is all about. Well-known chapter, Lord willing, we'll get to that next week. It's 1 Corinthians 13. It's read at many a wedding, many times it's shared. It's a love chapter. It defines love. See, up until now, Paul's been talking about gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Gifts of the Spirit. Gifts given to meet needs. In chapter 13, he'll be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, which the first one is love. So it goes a different direction there a little bit with that. But having said that, let's look at our topic verses this morning, see what God would have for us. Back in verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So it's a living truth. God has constructed it. As we come into the family, as we receive Christ, we're placed in this body, and it's God who's made the body, and then used an example of us. And that every member is important, of which you, as it, you are a member. Now, why is all this done? There's a lot of needs out there. A lot of needs in our lives, a lot of needs around us. And God has the answer. So let's consider a couple of verses here. Ephesians 4:16, speaking about how God works in this way, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So God has joined us together, and each one of us supplies something to this whole body, this whole team effort, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So the fruit of us working as a team, each one supplying what we supply, what God gives us to supply, is the result of we all grow together. Edify means to build up, so it causes growth of all of us for the body collectively. We're built up in love. Good stuff. So that's our part. And the question becomes, you know, and the encouragement is to just keep willing to say, Lord, go for it then. I want that for my life and for others. So help me, Lord, just to go for this whole thing of being what you've given me to supply in this. Which really in the end leads us to this, to our goal. Peter talks about this. As each one has received a gift, how many? Each one. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. By God's grace, we have this gift. Minister to one another. But notice the next verse. It tells us why. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So what's the point of this? Why is all this given? Why do we do this? We do what we do at His calling, at His empowering, His leading, that in all things it glorifies Him. It points back to Him. that God is glorified through Jesus, it says. Yes, through you. Through you. Through your gift. Through your receiving and walking and enabling the calling and all that he puts upon you. You're not too small. You're not unimportant. Every person matters on this whole thing. To the end, the body's built up in love, it says, and that God is glorified through Jesus. Verse 18, but now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. I encourage you to really put that to heart, that you have what you have, the gift that you have from him, and it's as he pleased. It's as he pleases. God's placed us there. He gives us as he desires. And it's just as he wants it to be. And then, of course, verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So verses 12, verse 18, verse 27, those are kind of the bones there, and then and Paul just kind of fills it in by giving these examples and all. But the point is, this is us. Believers, this is us. You are the body of Christ and members individually, and every single person matters. And I see it all around here, and I thank God for it in our midst. So my encouragement this morning, let's just keep it up. All to God's glory. Get invite the worship team up. They're going to help us respond and praise now and worship. It has pleased God to give you what he's given you. It pleased him. It's his will. He knows who he's dealing with. He knows what he's given you. And he's given us exactly what he pleases. So trust and enjoy that and grow in it. This morning, if you need a prayer, there'll be prayer partners back in the corner, my right, your left, back here in the corner. They'd love to meet with you and pray with you. Don't leave here wish you'd gotten prayer for something, be it at home or school or work or something, something you're struggling with. Let them pray for you. And for all of us, let's just keep being these living examples of this very text. Father, thank you. We're in awe. You declare clearly that every single person that is received of Jesus the Savior, you have a plan, you have a purpose, and you've done exactly, and you're doing that which pleases you. It's as you please. It's your, by your design. It's your will. Lord, if there's anybody struggling with where they might fit in today, I pray this would encourage them. If anybody's feeling like, do I really matter in this thing? I pray you'd speak to their hearts. Lord, for all of us, we're just in awe because it is of grace. It's totally of you. But thank you, Lord. Lord, you've given us eternity and you've given us purpose for today. How we thank you for that. Receive now our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.